Praise the Lord, and welcome to lesson number 22. I believe that lesson 22 in itself might be one of the most important lessons that you have heard so far. Of course, each lesson is important, but I believe that the power of the spoken word either will change or break your life. This is John S. Terrell speaking for the European American Evangelistic Crusades. And let's just go to our Heavenly Father in prayer right now. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for moving in our lives at this very moment. And, O God, as I have been speaking for many hours now on these cassettes, and, Lord, things have been created in the hearts of men and women, I pray at this very moment that this lesson will become alive and that, Father, you will use it to further your kingdom. I thank you right now, and I just bless you and praise you. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Well, let's get right into the lesson, and let's turn to page 108 in our outline. As you're doing that, let me simply say that you now are getting close to the end of course number 2. And if you have not yet ordered course number 3 that is ready to be shipped to you, I would say order your cassette album today and also your books so that when you are ready with course number 2, you can immediately begin studying in lesson, not in lesson, but in course number 2. And if you look in your number 2 books, you will see the content sheet of our course number 3, and I believe that it will thrill your heart. And if you enjoyed course number 1 and course number 2, I know that you will also enjoy course number 3. Anyway, let's get started then. One of the things that you got to realize every day, and that is that Satan is always ready to snare you. He knows that Christ won a total victory at the cross and liberated the human race. He knows it, he hates it. And he's always on the move trying to deceive and enslave humans and keep them from the power of Christ. The devil knows that if you as a believer in Christ receives the full power of the Holy Spirit, then he, Satan, is in trouble. If you learn how to use it, he's in double trouble. And if you not only learn to use it, but you continually use it, then he is in constant trouble. In 2 Peter chapter 2, verse number 1, the Bible says, "But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there should be false teachers among you, who privately shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction." Now, the original Greek text is much clearer and simply states that these false teachers shall secretly bring in destructive opinions and thus bring chaos to the saints. Now, this is happening today and has been going on for the last 1,900 years. Men and women who were redeemed and saved by Christ have been brought under the bondage of these false teachers. Hospitals, rest homes, and mental institutions are full of Christians who have been shot by the devil and are being carried toward heaven on stretchers and crutches. Instead of God having a victorious army in the world, it is an army crippled by all the Christian soldiers who have contracted one disease or other and are of little use in a kingdom of God. They are tying up millions of other Christian soldiers who must care for them and carry them. Now listen to what the Bible says in Hebrews 13:8-9. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. Be not carried about with divers and strange doctrines. For it is a good thing that their heart be established with grace, not with meats, which have not profited them that have been occupied therein. For centuries, so-called clergymen have been teaching and talking about that Christians must take all the suffering that comes their way. If they receive a sickness, they are to thank God for it and lay down and just receive it and pamper it and take care of that disease. They are told not to resist, but simply feel like worms, unworthy, absolutely worthless creatures that are supposed to be tortured by Satan at all the times, and that this is bringing glory to God. This is as foreign as anything can be to the Bible. Do not be carried away with every so-called expert that comes along and is ready to set you straight. Do not get shook over every shaking that Satan sends your way. Know your rights and stand your ground. Do not be surprised by all false teaching, because we are warned about it in the Bible. Listen to what the Bible says in 1 Timothy 4:1. Now the Spirit speaks expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of demons. Instead of having all these negative thoughts pumped into our lives, we gotta learn a principle and continually claim it, and that principle is that through Jesus Christ you are victorious. Through Jesus Christ, you are victorious. In Colossians 2:8-9 we read, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him, Christ, dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. You and Christ are one. Now, Christianity is not a religion. It is a personal relationship between you and God through Christ Jesus. There is no need for any philosophy to satisfy our minds, hungry for meaning to life, since we already have assurance that we are walking with Christ, seated with him in heavenly places, and authorized by him to carry out the mission of God on this earth. We are complete in Christ, and we are perfectly equipped to handle any situation on this earth. Listen to what it says in Colossians 2:10. and you are complete in him, which is ahead of all principality and power. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. You, listening to my voice today, if you have accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, if you have received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the Bible says you are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. It simply means that you have received all of God, because the Bible says that God dwells in us, the believers. An unsaved person or a Christian that is carnal will never understand spiritual things. They will remain a mystery to him. He cannot comprehend the fact that we can live a victorious life in Christ and that the Holy Spirit will empower us and enable us to work mighty works in the name of Jesus. Listen to what the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, beginning with verse number 12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who has known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. These are beautiful scriptures. That means when you got saved, you have received the mind of the Spirit. You are no longer carnal. You're not supposed to be carnal, but now you are supposed to be spiritually minded, comparing spiritual things with spiritual things. You see, most of us have lived so long in defeat and despair and in spiritual poverty that we simply cannot begin even to comprehend the tremendous reality of Jesus Christ. And I want to tell you this. Jesus Christ is a greater reality than anything else on this world. You might think that the things that you can touch, like the furniture in your home, the car, the earth, the atmosphere, that these are realities. They are merely expressions of spiritual things. And we're going to look upon this in a few moments, that all things are made by Christ, all things are upheld by Christ, and without Jesus Christ, nothing will exist in this creation. Christ's victory is your victory. Through Jesus Christ, the redeemed have become partakers of his victory at Calvary. And the Bible teaches us that God has attained all victories through the spoken word. And now I would like to begin to examine how this is done by God. And the first thing that we want to learn is God spoke and creation was a fact. It was through the spoken word that this universe was made. And it is through the spoken word that it is kept together. Eight times it is recorded in the first chapter of Genesis that God said, and it was so. God said, and it was a fact. When God speaks, things happen. And the sooner we learn this, that the Word of God is simply a reality, then you and I can move into greater victories. In 2 Peter 3:5, the Bible says, "For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word, logo, of God, the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water." In Hebrews chapter 11, beginning with verse number 1, we read the following. "Now faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtain a good report. And through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear." Now, what is the Bible talking about? Well, today, you and I, we know that Einstein was able to formulate his relativity formula, which simply said that E is equal to M times C square, which simply says that energy is equal to mass times the speed of light in square. To bring it down to a level that all people will understand it, it simply means that energy is equal to material things. That we can go from energy to materia or from materia to energy. Now, for many thousands of years, we have learned that we can dissolve material things and we receive energy. But the Bible teaches that the reverse effect is possible, to go from energy to material things. We do not know how this works in a technical way. We may not know how electricity works either, but we surely know how to use it. All we know is that God spoke and lots of things happened. But this we do know. God operates under the spiritual law, which states that whatsoever God says comes to pass. That's why we can trust the Bible. That's why we can trust the Bible blindly, because if God said it, it shall, it will, it is going to come to pass. Now, Jesus Christ today is using this spiritual law to maintain the entire creation. And we read in Hebrews chapter 1, 1 through 3. "God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high." You gotta remember now, God, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit have always existed. The Bible tells us that God appointed Jesus Christ to be the Creator. Thus, in the very creation act, Jesus used his authority from God to operate according to the spiritual law of the spoken word. Mankind was not able to appreciate the biblical truth that Jesus Christ is upholding all things with the word of his power until we discovered the world of atoms. Every atom consists of three different particles called a proton, the positive charge, the electron, the negative charge, and the neutron, which is the neutral part. And just very recently, matter of fact, since I wrote this lesson, back in April 1979, physicists have discovered another building particle in the atoms. And this building particle that they are now trying to find out more about, they simply state, this particle seems to be the glue that holds the atoms together. Now, if that particle exists, it is simply another discovery that will again show how accurate the Bible is, because here again we find that there is something in every atom that is responding to the spoken word of God and that is holding together the atoms. Neutrons are clustered together with protons, and these make up the center of an atom. But how can several protons clustered together be held together when they have the same electrical charge, since particles of like charge repel one another? According to physical laws of electricity, every atom that has more than one proton should explode and disintegrate. But they do not. And the reason is that energy from Jesus Christ is being pumped out every moment to keep the enormous masses of atoms together in the universe. All energy, all life, and all motion in a created universe comes from Jesus Christ and is maintained by his continuous spoken word. There will come a day when Jesus will withhold his spoken word, and the entire creation will disintegrate. And we can read about this in 2 Peter 3:10-13. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, and then the heavens will pass away with a loud noise, and the elements will dissolve with fire, and the earth and the works that are upon it will be burned up. Since all these things are thus to be dissolved, what sort of persons ought you to be in lives of holiness and godliness, waiting for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be kindled and dissolved, and the elements will melt with fire? But according to his promise, we wait for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Thus we can simply pull all these things together and very simply state that through the spoken word, Logos, God is keeping his entire creation together that was also created by the spoken world, by the spoken word. And to define it just a little bit better, we can simply say that the energy streaming out from Jesus Christ is the expression of a created world with all the things in it. Jesus used this law during his earthly time when he walked on this earth. When Jesus was born into the human body in Bethlehem, he limited himself and took the form of a man. The only difference between Jesus Christ and any other human being is that there was no sinful blood in his body, since he did not have an earthly father. Read about it in Matthew 1:19. Jesus was commissioned and baptized in the Holy Spirit at the entry of his ministry on this earth, and was at this time endued with power from God. Matthew 3:16-17. Every believer in Christ has the opportunity to receive the same power and authority. Read about it in Matthew 3:11, Acts 2:38-39. The spiritual law of the spoken word applied to Jesus Christ when he ministered on this earth, and he used it at all times. Let's take a look now upon these examples and see what Christ did. First of all, Jesus stilled a storm with his word. We read in Matthew 8:26, "And Jesus said to them, Why are you afraid, O men of little faith? Then he rose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm." When Jesus Christ stood in that boat, he simply remembered ages ago when he at one time stood out in an empty, vast space with nothing in it. And as the words began to roll out from him, constellations, galaxies, stars and planets came into being, created by his word. And when he spoke to the waves and the wind, the energy was transformed from the words into realities, and the very elements had to obey. Jesus drove out demons or evil spirits with his word. We read in Matthew 8:32. "And he," Jesus, "said to them, Go. So they came out and went into the swine, and behold, their whole herd rushed down the steep bank into the sea and perished in the waters." A demon could not stand 10 seconds, not even a fraction of a second, after Jesus had spoken to him. He had to move, because Jesus is a master of all things. Jesus healed the sick with his word. We read in Matthew 9:5-6, "For which is easier to say, Your sins are forgiven, or to say, Rise and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." He then said to the paralytic, "Rise, take up your bed, and go home." If you read the Gospels very careful, you will find that not one time did Jesus pray for the sick. He spoke to the diseases. He spoke the very health into existence, and every disease had to flee for the spoken word of Christ. Jesus raised the dead with his word. We read in Mark 5:41-42. "Taking her by the hand, he said to her, Talitha kumi, which means, little girl, I say to you, arise. And immediately the girl got up and walked, for she was 12 years old. And immediately they were overcome with amazement." When Jesus raised the dead, he spoke to death, and the spirit of death had to flee. But Jesus raised up Lazarus, who had been dead for 4 days. He not only drove away the spirit of death, but he also created a new body for Lazarus through his spoken word. Jesus created bread and fish through his word. We read in Mark 6:41, "And taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up into heaven and blessed and broke the loaves, and he gave them to the disciples to set before the people, and he divided the 2 fish among them all." He fed more than 10,000 to 15,000 people. He broke the bread, he took the fish, he blessed it, he spoke to it, and as he was breaking it, he was speaking and blessing God, and he created bread and fried fish by speaking the word in faith. Jesus dried up a fig tree through his word. We read in Mark 11:20-22. "As they passed by in the morning, they saw the fig tree withered away to its roots. And Peter remembered and said to him, 'Master, look, the fig tree which you cursed has withered.' And Jesus answered them, 'Have faith of God.'" Have faith of God. How did Jesus curse that tree? He didn't stand and swear next to it. He simply spoke to that tree and said, "Never again shall anything ever grow upon you." And the moment he spoke those words, that tree had to die. The Bible said it dried up from its roots and all the way up in a few hours. Jesus Christ was not given any more power when he walked on this earth than every born-again believer in Christ has available to him. Are you exercising your authority? You see, most of us, we have in our minds that somehow Jesus Christ had more power and he was something special that we can never, never match up to it. But you see, this is not what Jesus himself has been teaching. Let's take a look in Matthew chapter 12, beginning with verse number 34. "And there Jesus said, 'O generation of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaks. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart brings forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by your words you shall be justified, and by your words you shall be condemned." Christians, it's time for you and me to begin to exercise our authority. Jesus told his disciples about this spiritual law of the spoken word and outlined its principle in detail. However, most Christians fail to understand it and miss 80% of the blessings that God wants to bestow upon us. They also rob God of opportunities to work among people on this earth. Now, let us now carefully investigate this law that Jesus passed on to you and me. And we find it in the Gospel of John, chapter 14, beginning with verse number 10. Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwells in me, he does the works. Now, step by step, Jesus unfolds the secret of his ministry. Jesus and the Father are one, yet they are two. The Father in heaven is the one that tells Jesus what to say, and then the Father acts. Jesus could do nothing of himself. Every healing and every miracle was a work of the Father. Jesus spoke, and the Father carried it out. In the Gospel of John, chapter 14, verse number 11, we read the following. Jesus said, believe me, that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Again, Jesus is emphasizing that the Father and Jesus are one, and that this is a moving power in his life as he ministered on this earth. Then he begins to explain that the same power is available to every believer in Christ. Now let's very, very carefully examine the Gospel of John, chapter 14, verses 12 through 13. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believes on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. We are to perform all the works of Jesus. You hear me on this? We are to perform all the works of Jesus. You see, this is where it comes in, that either we begin to accept what the Bible says, or else we're going to have to say, well, I believe that the Bible lies here, because here it says, Jesus said, greater works than these shall you do. Now, some people try to rationalize and talk about, well, we have television today and radios and things like this. I believe that's a lot of baloney, because these are methods, not works. Me being able to speak over the cassettes to thousands and thousands of people, speaking on many continents at the same time and in different countries, this is not really a greater work. Because what this is simply a technique that we are using. But the works of God are simply these: to cast out demons, to heal the sick, to raise the dead, and to enlarge the kingdom of God by seeing men and women getting saved. These are the works of God. Jesus cast out demons, he raised the dead, he healed the sick, he created food, he stilled storms, he walked on water. And yet Jesus said that we will do greater works than these, because he went to the Father. Jesus Christ will do these works as believers in Christ speaks them on this earth. There will be no limits. Nothing will be held back, but God's work on this earth will increase in magnitude and frequency until God shall be glorified all over the world. Listen to what the Bible says in Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 through 7. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace, there will be no end, upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness, from this time forth and forevermore. The seal of the Lord of hosts will do this. You see, the kingdom of God, which is now on this earth for the believers, before Jesus Christ is going to close down this age and take us away from this earth, he simply said the whole earth will know the glory of Christ. Now, how can things spoken by you and me be carried out? It is simply carried out that spirits will either do good works or negative works. The spirits I'm referring to are the angels. We have God's angels, and we have Satan's angels. Listen closely now. Spirits will be transferred through our speaking. Every time a believer in Christ speaks or thinks, it is heard in heaven and also by Satan's demons on this earth. Every word spoken in faith or thought in faith in the name of Jesus Christ will be carried out to the letter by Jesus through his angels. But every word spoken in unbelief or thought in unbelief will be used by the devil to undermine our faith and hinder God from answering. Listen to these scriptures right now. James 1, 6 through 8. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. For that person must not suppose that a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways, will receive anything from the Lord. And in Proverbs 6:2, the Bible says, if you are snared in the utterance of your lips, caught in the words of your mouth. With other words, you are snared by your own words. The Bible teaches that good spirits can be transferred. Spirits sent forth from God to minister to his people. You might say, now, is there more than one spirit? It depends upon how we define spirits. Now, the Bible teaches us about the Holy Spirit. In the book of Revelation, the Bible says that God has seven spirits. And sometimes angels are referred to as spirits, even if they have an angelic body. Irregardless the technicality of the thing right now, let's look upon Numbers 11:16 through 17, and here we will get an example how a spirit from God can be transferred and do good work. And the Lord said to Moses, gather me 70 men of the elders of Israel, whom you know to be the elders of the people and officers over them, and bring them to the tent of meeting, and let them take their stand there with you. And I will come down and talk with you there, and I will take some of the Spirit which is upon you, and put it upon them, and they shall bear the burden of the people with you, that you may not bear it yourself alone. And it happened. It simply happened. And the 70 other men received the same burden, the unity with one another and with Moses, the same ministering power, and together with Moses they carried out the work of God. And thus we can see that we need to speak good things. And I'm sure that you're aware of this. If you dwell in the company of people with great faith that speaks the word of God, it is contagious and it lifts and it builds your soul. But the tragedy is that evil spirits also will move from person to person if they are permitted and to do their destructive work. You can read about this in 1 Corinthians 6, 15 through 20, and 2 Corinthians 6, 14 through 18. This is why the Apostle Paul wrote the following in Ephesians 6, 10 through 13. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Spiritual forces will influence and bring out certain characteristics in a person. And thus we can see that attitudes many times are nothing but a spiritual influence, either good or bad. And I want to say this to you. You that are saved, don't think that you are immune to this. But at all times, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 52 weeks a year, and year in and year out, you are ministered to either by God's angels and the Holy Spirit or by Satan and his demons. None of us are living in a world that is neutral, and none of us can simply say, well, no one is influencing me right now. We constantly have spirits that are lobbying to move us either in a good direction or a bad direction. That's why it is so important that you simply learn to choose whom you want to guide you. Now, attitudes will influence people with whom we come in contact, and it will either minister joy and faith in God or negative thoughts and despair. This is why it is so important that you watch what you say, because it will minister to the person listening to you. When you have been listening to this cassette right now, God, through me, has ministered faith and power and positive confessions of God. And if you receive it, it will lift your spirit. It will help you to move in victory in Christ Jesus. Again, I like to read to you from Matthew 12, 34 through 37. You're brood of vipers. How can you speak good when you are evil? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. The good man out of his good treasure brings forth good, and the evil man out of his evil treasure brings forth evil. I tell you, on the day of judgment, men will render account for every careless word they utter. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. Important. Yes. Extremely important. Now, on page 113 in our 1979 edition of our textbook, we have a partial list of attitudes and feelings that the human spirit can have. Let's look upon them. Troubled, found in Genesis 41:8. Sorrowful, 1 Samuel 1:5. Contrite, Psalms 34:18. Provoked, Psalms 106:33. Wounded, Proverbs 18:14. Heavy, Isaiah 61:3. Anguished, Exodus 6:9. Hardened, Deuteronomy 2:30. Broken, Psalm 51:17. Hasty, Proverbs 16:18. Vexed, Ecclesiastes 1:14. Jealous, Numbers 5:14. Stirred up, 2 Chronicles 36:22. Steadfast, Psalm 78:8. Humble, Proverbs 16:19. Proud, Ecclesiastes 7:8. Now, these are spiritual attitudes. And when you have them in your life, you simply got to say, now wait a minute, am I ministered to by the Holy Spirit, or am I ministered to by Satan? The Apostle Paul understood this spiritual law, and he operated according to it, and this is why he wrote what he wrote in Ephesians 6:18. Praying always, with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. In other words, Paul simply said it is so important that we at all times are in a prayerful attitude, and we simply are giving our supplication in the Spirit and watching for the perseverance of all the saints. Now, let's now begin to sum up on this first cassette, because I have divided lesson 22 into two cassettes, so that I will have the opportunity to teach for 2 solid hours on this subject. And I want to sum this up now. To pray is to say it with God and to let Jesus carry it out. To pray is to say it with God and letting Jesus carry it out. Learn to confess out loud with your mouth, and in this manner it will be sealed. Now, this goes for positive as well as negative. Jesus tells us in Matthew 18:18 that we have the power to loose and bind things in the spiritual world. Angels and demons, fallen angels, are always listening to what we say. When we are speaking in Jesus Christ, they must obey us. They do not have any choice. Demons can only roam around and have free access in this world if Christians fail to take control in their cities, counties, states, and countries. this is extremely important. You see, we have not understood the power of the spoken word. And all we have done for centuries have been to moan and groan and say, oh, times are going bad. It's getting worse. We're heading in for recession. We're getting into this. We're getting into that. So it is coming. And it comes. And nothing is done about it. Demons can only roam around and have free access in this world if Christians fail to take control in their cities, counties, states, and countries. Christians are created by God to dominate and control their areas by exercising their spiritual authority. And on the second half, or the second cassette on Lesson 22, I want to talk to you about this, how we can and will have this domination by believers in Christ when we speak it in faith. Now, Jesus taught very clearly this principle as he began his ministry on this earth, first claiming the victory over the devil and his demons as found in Matthew 12, 22-30, Luke 4, 1-14. If the enemy is not bound, he will destroy every attempt by you to move in victory. Daniel tells about this in Daniel 10, 2-4 and 11-14. Learn to bind the enemy. But remember this, Jesus will never allow us to pray for the destruction of men. Luke 9, 51-56. Jesus hates sin, but he loves sinners, and will do everything in his power to redeem them. But Jesus Christ came for one reason only, and that was to destroy the works of the devil. We read in 1 John 3:8, he that commits sin is of the devil, for the devil sins from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. This power to destroy the works of the devil was transferred to the apostles, Matthew 10:1. It was also given to the remainder of his disciples, Luke 10:1, 17-20. And then Jesus transferred this power to all believers, Matthew 28:18-20, and Acts 2:38-39. Our victory starts in our homes, Ephesians 5:22-33. The husband is the head and the protector of his family and the spiritual leader. Satan is well aware of this, and the first home ever established on this earth was attacked by breaking up the spiritual order that God has ordained. Read Genesis 3:1-6. Parents must learn that they are the spiritual leaders of the children. Ephesians 6:1-4. If the parents fail to exercise this leadership, the children have no protection, and Satan and his demons will devour them and utterly destroy them, thus destroying the entire home. If a family does not understand this, they will commit spiritual suicide, which will eventually lead to physical destruction. Read 1 Peter 5:8. We must learn that God will not fight the battles that he has commissioned us to fight. And we read in Ephesians 6:10-13, finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we are not contending against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against the powers, against the spiritual host of wickedness in heavenly places. Therefore, take the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in evil day, and having done all, to stand. Now, God simply says this, I will reign on the earth through the believers in Christ. That's how he reigns. And if you have not learned to speak the victory, if you have not learned to speak it out and to dominate, then victory will not happen in the place where you live and where you're supposed to simply rule in the kingdom of God. Well, my time is up on cassette A on lesson 22, and I will be back in the lesson in the second half, cassette B, and we shall finish the lesson, The Power of the Spoken Word. God bless you, and it is with a great joy I'm looking forward to finish this lesson of power in Christ. God bless you.
Thank you.